Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut,
bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. We are now ready to continue our journey of football picks with all our football picks panelists, for which two of the three will be in the mix tonight. John in Connecticut is in the show. Andy in Seattle should be in the show as well. And we have Rod in New Jersey sending his picks via the text this evening. Our guest picker, Dave in Queens, I believe he's going to send his picks via the text, and we should post them on ditcal.com by tomorrow or by Thursday evening. So watch for him there, or watch for him on our Twitter feed at ditcal. And for those of you listening to the program tonight, you may notice a little change in the volume of the mic. I've noticed that the microphone volume was inconsistent on the last year or so of shows, so I've made an adjustment on my compressor. A lot of techno mumbo jumbo, basically to say that the volume level should be more consistent from, at least for me, the rest of the way. The phones always sounded good. It just, like, my voice sounded just, it kept going in and out and in and out and in and out, and I was just noticing it more and more. So, if you're on the phone too, John, let me know later as we get you on, whether my voice is sounding more or less good. So, we'll continue. It was a very exciting week of football, and that's going to be where we start tonight. We have a lot to recap. An incredible upset of by Minnesota of Penn State. An incredible upset. I mean, not that incredible, but it was a good upset, and certainly a big win for LSU at Alabama. And that was not it. There were a bunch of upsets throughout the weekend, and in the NFL it was no different. We had some big upsets. One by the Titans over the Chiefs, one by the Steelers over the Rams, one by the Seahawks over the 49ers, one by the Dolphins over, admittedly, a shorthanded Indianapolis Colts. It was a wild weekend of football, so let's not waste any time. We do want to also thank our guest Robert in Virginia for coming on the program. We'll tell you how he did in a moment. And for now, it'll just be me and John, and I assume at some point Andy will call in too. So on we go. We've got another set of dominoes that I think could fall, and it's just going to be a matter of who can withstand the pressure and the chaos of November college football, and the same thing in the NFL, where I think additional dominoes could fall as the teams start to jostle for the playoffs. Let's hit it. Football picks week 12. And I forgot to mention that we will not have a show next week because I'll be out of town. But while we don't have a show, we do want to invite you to listen to the top five episodes of 2017 here on the DidCal feed. Now, let's get to the results. It was a big week for John in Connecticut, who had the best week out of the regulars. He was 3-1 for week number 11. I, Dave, in the city, went 3-1 as well. Andy in Seattle did pretty well at 2-1-1, and the guy who had been red hot, Ron in New Jersey, was a little bit less hot this week, but still decent at 2-2 for week 11. Guest picks from Robert in Virginia, 2-2, certainly better than what he did the last time he was here when he went 0-4, so I'm happy for him there. He actually did really well in the college, but he can only do two college picks for this contest, so good stuff out of Robert. And for our standings in total after the 11 weeks, it is Ron at the top still at 28-12-2. Andy's in second place at 21-15-6. John is in third at 20-20-2. Nice job out of John getting back to 500. And Dave is in last place at 18-22-2. So trying to get back to 500 myself for the remainder of the season. So let's also reveal to you the college football playoff rankings released on Tuesday. LSU, not surprisingly, is at number one at the very top of the college football playoff standings. Ohio State is at number two at 9-0. Clemson is in third place. Georgia's ranked number four. Alabama, with a loss to LSU, goes down to number five. And University of Oregon is there at number six. And right behind them, Utah at seven. And then at eighth is University of Minnesota with a big win and 9-0 record. I don't think there's any real problem here. I didn't have an issue with any of these rankings, really. But despite that, I really do think that Ohio State is the best team in college football still. And I think the reason I think that is because of the defense. But enough of my thoughts. Let's go to everybody else's thoughts. And let's introduce our panel again tonight. We start with John in Connecticut. John, again, really wild week in football. How's it going tonight?
Doing well, Dave. Your voice was very clear when we first started, but now you're kind of muffling a little bit. So I don't know if you got to do something on your end with the technology scenarios, but I could just barely hear you for the last minute.
Oh, really? Okay. Maybe you guys talk louder. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Thanks, John. All right. So, Andy, welcome back to the program as well. How's it going tonight?
Not too bad, Dave. Hey, John. Hey, Dave, the guest, also known as O'Reilly. Yeah, I heard some reverb, too. So we'll figure it out, I'm sure. We make our way through the night.
All right. Very good. Maybe the reverb was while I was doing the recap part, so which means that the volume of the music was too loud. So I'll work on that. Okay, guys, let's recap some excitement from last week, and hopefully no reverb at the moment. But John, I'll give it to you first.
All right, yeah, Dave, much better there. So I guess we're talking college football first, right?
Oh, of course, right. I didn't specify. Yes, college.
Okay, yeah, just making sure. So obviously the two big games of the weekend, first of all, we'll talk about Penn State and Minnesota. Now, we've all been supporters of PJ Fleck on the program, and we called the upset last week with our picks, getting the 7 points, and they end up winning outright. I mean, their offense is just, that offense can play with anybody in the country. I mean, what he's done there to get those athletes and his scheme, just a tremendous job, and they got ahead on Penn State. And we're able to withstand a kind of a rally towards the end of the game, picked off Clifford in the end zone. And that's just a huge win for Minnesota. And, there's a legitimate chance. Now, I don't think they're going to make the college football playoff because they're going to probably take a loss here at some point. The book says to bet Iowa this week against Minnesota. I don't know if I'm going to go that far because I like the Minnesota story and I kind of don't want to root against them. Obviously, money might come first, but as of right now, I'll lay low on that. But there's a very good chance that Minnesota could end up in the Rose Bowl, which is just crazy. I cannot remember Minnesota ever playing in a Rose Bowl in my lifetime. I'd have to go back and look, when the last time they made the Rose Bowl is. I'm sure it was a long time ago. But just a tremendous coaching job by Fleck. And, we'll see if the Minnesota magic carpet ride can continue. Always kind of felt Penn State was just slightly overrated. With their ranking, like I mentioned last week, a lot of the games they had some turnover luck. They were outgained in a bunch of games. So, they're still a good team, but that was just a kind of a ripe. They were ripe for the picking in that game, and we'll see how they can do, how they can recover against Indiana this week, which is actually on the radar for potential picks. Indiana getting 14.5. It seems like a little too much to me. Maybe it's one of those public dog situations where the dog just gets blown out, but that feels like too many points. But in any event, Minnesota moves up into the top 10 of the playoff rankings and well-deserved for that. And then Bama and LSU, again, we kind of talked about this on the show, that this was just a completely different LSU team compared to previous years when they go up against Alabama, and all it has to do with their offense and Joe Burrow and how efficient and just the transformation that has happened in the last year and a half. I mean, at the beginning of last year, I mean, he was awful, and by the end of the year, they just kind of started to figure things out and had that great bowl game against Central Florida and just carried it over into this year. And really, I mean, they were up 33-13 in that game, and Alabama just kind of, a little window dressing at the end. I mean, they scored a garbage touchdown in the last minute to make it 46-41, and apparently that keeps them at number five in the playoff rankings. And, it's going to set it up now for a one-loss Bama to go ahead of, like, a one-loss, say, Oklahoma or a one-loss Pac-12 champ, which I think is kind of yes, considering if Bama wins out, their best win would have been over, say, a three-loss Auburn or a three-loss Texas A&M team, which is kind of a joke. I mean, yeah, I guess from, you know, player number one to 52, sure, you can say Bama is probably one of the most talented four teams in the country, but at some point, the results on the field have to matter. Like, why even play the games if you just look on paper who has the best players? It just makes no sense to me how all of the, you can say they're unequivocally one of the best four teams. Well, like, just prove it on the field, you know? So that's just kind of frustrating. But I guess we'll see how it all plays out over the next month or so, and maybe we won't have that controversy if Bama were to lose at Auburn in a couple of weeks. So we'll see about that. As for the other games, Oklahoma was a little shaky. Almost until Iowa State get that big comeback after being ahead 21 points. Kind of the same old story with the Oklahoma defense, if you thought they maybe they turned a leaf. Baylor gets a crazy win in triple overtime. And if you had the under in that game, you just had to just jump off the nearest bridge. It was 9-9 at the end of the fourth quarter, and it ends up 29-23. So that's just a bad beat for the under, but Baylor ends up covering the spread. And I think they're a little overrated too. And the committee kind of agrees with that, as I believe they're only ranked 12th or 13th and they're undefeated, but they can prove themselves against Oklahoma this week. If they win that game, they'll be right. You know, they'll be in soar into the top 10. So I guess that's all I'll mention for the big important games. The Texas Kansas State game was kind of interesting. They were settling for the field goal at the end, and then Herman decides to run a play in for a touchdown, and that it's called back for a false start, and people with Texas -7 were kind of upset about that, but good win for them. And Ohio State just keeps rolling, just crushes Maryland 73-14. So, so those were the two big games that we had discussed heading into the week, and certainly did not disappoint, and gave us quite the shakeup in the rankings for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Baylor is ranked number 13, and I think you're absolutely right. The committee is not buying them. If you look at some of the games, they had four close wins, four. And that was one of them, the one that went multiple overtimes. They had another game against Iowa State that they barely won. They had a game against West Virginia that they barely won by field goal. And then there was one other game where they just barely won that game, too. So while that said, their defense does look pretty good, so it's going to be very interesting to see what they do against Oklahoma. I will make one other notation before I give it to Andy. Michigan State looks like they're done, because things have gone from bad to worse. They gave up a 25-point lead to Illinois at home. I mean, that is just one of the most shocking losses you will see in college football, and I don't think anybody saw it because it was in the middle of all the Bama stuff and the TCU stuff and the Baylor stuff and the Florida stuff, and there's so much going on while that game was on, and it was just pretty nuts. So let's go to Andy and let's get your recap of college last week.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun on the couch on Saturday. We were all on board the rowboat of PJ Fleck. It was a very entertaining game. Minnesota basically established momentum fast and early. Penn State hung around, obviously. But as John alluded to, we're all PJ Fleck fans. James Franklin can't lose more. You know, he's just a disingenuous piece of shit. So, I know people still think Penn State can, you know, do some damage, but I don't know. That Penn State-Ohio State game, it'll be – I don't know. That's kind of like rooting for the lesser of two evils there. But, I mean, it's going to have national playoff implications. We're going to have to tune into that. But, let's see how far this PJ Fleck experience can go. I know some people are just kind of joking about Minnesota, like, oh, now they have a right to get blown out by Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship next month. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, they definitely were probably still elated. So, yeah, when John mentioned that Iowa, you know, take Iowa next week, I mean, yeah, logic would dictate the upset factor. But, the flip side of that, you have to take Iowa. You know, that's a that's a team that's never fun to watch. You know, I don't know who was watching Iowa Wisconsin last week. Probably some purist out there, but not my cup of tea. Alabama, LSU, Alabama. You don't really see them get shredded to bits on defense like they did that day. Everything was kind of haunting from the get go. Our friend George Arati, also known as Yachts, also known as John in Orlando, made a joke on the social media that they were kind of getting, they had the case of the LA Chargers early on, you know, the self-inflicted loaf that Tua put on himself. You know, they're well on their way to scoring first drive of the game, and he fumbles. You know, he was holding the ball in his right hand, running with it, loaf. Next thing you know, LSU goes right down the field. And the way they ended the first half, you know, shame on them. You know, it went from 19-13 to 33-13 in basically a blink of an eye. So that last touchdown on the heels of a Tua interception with basically 45 seconds or so left in the half. So, you know, Burrow, he was lights out. You know, every time you thought Alabama would kind of get back in it, in that fourth quarter, they just went right down the field. So good job on LSU's part. You know, the SEC is going to have a lot of shaking. You know, we'll probably talk about that Auburn-Georgia game in a little bit. But, I know Alabama, they have no one to blame but themselves. And we'll see what the committee does in a few weeks' time. There's a lot that can play out. You know, that Oklahoma-Iowa State game was fun to watch on the couch. You know, Oklahoma was up, I think, 21 points at one point, but, you know, they gave up 20 points in the fourth quarter. You know, that wasn't window dressing. Like, Iowa State, they went for two at the end of the game. Like, they had that game at their fingertips. They had that outright win at their fingertips. And it hurt through a – I don't know if you guys were up to watch it, but you know, Oklahoma didn't have to throw the ball. You know, their last series, they were just trying to ice the game, and Hurts threw. I think it was on third down. They had Hurts throw. He threw a pick, and Iowa State went down the field. That Oklahoma defense has not improved. Going into the year, there was talk of improvement, and they just. I think they get worse as this. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would make a case that their defense gets worse, you know, as the game progresses. So if you're into that type of stuff, you know, take the their opponent second half scenario. Yeah, because their defense got shredded in the second half. Didn't watch a snap of Clemson, NC State. You know, after the Minnesota, Penn State, Alabama, LSU game, I'm not gonna invest any time to watch Clemson just beat up on NC State. I don't care how Herb Street and Fowler try to sell that game. I mean, that's a joke. And then some of the early stuff, you know, Maction was Maction. Washington did what they needed to do up in Corvallis to the chagrin of our pick. I mean, that Oregon State quarterback was atrocious. He looked like a third string quarterback just checking down and just didn't even want to be out there. You couldn't play worse. And they lost 19-7. John mentioned the Kansas game, or I'm sorry, the Kansas State Texas game. Yeah, if you had Texas, you're like, what the heck just happened at the end of that game? Also, that Baylor TCU game was really exciting. It was a defensive struggle. That Baylor team, they don't really do it in smoke and mirrors. They kind of just hang around the quarterback. He makes big throws when he has to. He can do some things with his legs. The defense is good. I like that coach. John mentioned off the program that, yeah, that when the TCU defense shows up, they can hang around with anybody. You know, Patterson, that's what he's known for, the defense situation. And, Baylor, Oklahoma – I know Baylor didn't get any respect from the committee on Tuesday night, but, you know, all they can do is just control what they can control. So you know, just let it all hang out against Oklahoma this weekend. They got nothing to lose. So I'll be interested in that game in a couple of days. Arkansas fired their coach. They're a disaster in the SEC. Let's see what else was there that was kind of exciting. I think we kind of just, USC Arizona State was entertaining. Dave, you already nailed the Michigan State Illinois. I mean, I think Mark D'Antonio has gone a little stale over there in East Lansing. And, the Cougs lost again. Yeah, it was a great Saturday to be on the couch, not going to lie. Good Saturday. And, for the big degenerates out there, that San Jose State-Hawaii pinball matchup out on Facebook Live, basically ending in the middle of the night on the East Coast, 42-40, Hawaii with the win. And as John called it, that San Jose State team must be the most entertaining team in the country with a 1-5 record in their conference.
Yeah, I was peeking into some of that as well. And John, good job out of you. Any thoughts on that particular game?
Yeah, I could not stay up for that one. I was fell asleep, but I saw the next day that they literally scored on every possession and lost. I don't think I've ever seen that before, which is crazy. They're definitely an improved team. I mean, I mentioned on the show that they won in Arkansas. I mean, it turns out to be Arkansas is just a complete dumpster fire of a team that just fired their coach. But still, it's SEC talent compared to Mountain West talent, and they won there. They won at Army. Their passing game is pretty awesome. I don't exactly know their record. I think it's like 4-6, maybe. I'm going to check that right now so we don't have a fun house here. 4-6. So they're going to need to nibble their next two games if we want to see them bowling. They're a fun team to watch. So I knew that was going to be a back-and-forth game, and there's always kind of shady shit on the island. So I was kind of a little bit nervous when I saw that spread, but it ended up working out in the end.
Yeah, I did notice the over-under was like, what, like, 50 something or 60 something, and I'm like, damn, I should have. That looked like a good one, so I kind of felt like a little remorseful not jumping on it. But still, a fun game. And speaking of who's going bowling, Illinois is gonna go bowling. Can you believe that? My goodness, wow. So
yeah, that's crazy.
I know.
I took that again. That was like kind of the public dog of last week, and I was watching the game on one screen. It was literally 28-3 Michigan State, and I'm like, oh my God, I just kind of completely fell into the trap of taking the public dog, and it's just an unbelievable comeback. Michigan State just completely melted down. And all you need to know about Illinois is that UConn should have beaten them in week two. Like, UConn had them beat, and here they are bowling. So I guess they improved throughout the season. So that's what a good coach does. I don't know. So kudos to Lovie Smith for making the most of his opportunities with some of these games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I do want to give just a re-shout out to both Baylor, even though Baylor has been fighting through all the close games, Minnesota too, but they're both 9-0, and it's just going to be a very interesting bowl if they somehow were to meet. And I was looking at the projections. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. Andy alluded to the projection for Minnesota, and I do agree that it seems like they have the inside track to the Rose Bowl, which is great. But the thing of that is, you know, the Rose Bowl, they're going to try to insist on a Pac-12 team, which isn't a bad decision because you've also got some good teams over there with Oregon and Utah. So if either of them make it, that would be a good Rose Bowl. So we'll see what happens there. John alluded to this news. Chad Morris, the coach at Arkansas, has been fired. And Ohio State defensive end Chase Young has officially been suspended up to 4 games. There's a lot of rumblings about that. There might be an appeal, something like that. I think the whole thing's a joke. The thing was, get this, you guys. The suspension is over a loan of $800. I mean, can you be bigger fools than the NCAA? Just a mess. Just ridiculous. So let's go to the picks. And we do have a lot of potential upset alerts this week. There are so many teams in the top six that could be shocked by somebody else. It's going to be very fun to watch this weekend. So, John, I give it to you first for the picks. Week number 12.
All right, Dave. Yeah, this is a hard week. I guess one more thing I'll say before the picks. There are no other ACC teams ranked right now in the playoff committee other than Clemson. So I'm hoping what Ron had mentioned last week about that caveat where there's no top 25 teams, the Orange Bowl can deny one of those teams to play from the contractual obligations. It's going to be such bullshit if one of these teams gets a 8-4 or 7-5 team gets to bowl blaze in the Orange Bowl. That was just such a joke. But anyway, I digress. Let's get to the picks. Tough week. Just looking at the lines, nothing really jumped out at me here. So I guess we'll give it a try. We'll start off with I'm going to take Navy plus 7 at Notre Dame. And I wish we had done this show on Monday because the line was 10.5 then. It's down to 7. I will still take it at the 7. Anything under 7, I'll get a little worried. But this Navy team, just a complete transformation this year. They have a new defensive coordinator, and that was really the difference. You know, how they're always efficient with their option, and they're always going to, work that to perfection, really. And they always have under their coach. But their defense really was lacking last year, and that led them to their poor season. But they've improved in almost every metric, and they've pretty much dominated their schedule. And if you look at the history between these two teams, whenever Navy has, like, a really solid squad, they always play Notre Dame hard. And, Notre Dame, I'm sure the WFAN Mongos at Collins still think they can make it to the college football playoff, but I don't think they can. So, essentially, they're kind of almost playing up the string. I mean, obviously, they're going to be trying, but there's not really that extra kind of motivation here, whereas, Navy, this is kind of almost second to playing Army on their schedule, and just a huge opportunity for them. So, I really like the way their defense has been playing. I think this will be a close game. So, give me Navy plus 7, game 1 against Notre Dame. Game 2, I had a lot of choices here. I could have gone with that Indiana pick, like I said, but one of the first games that kind of jumped at me, I'll go Texas Tech getting 3, plus 3, at home against TCU. So TCU just comes off that 4 overtime, just barn burner against Baylor. I'm sure they just used a lot of energy for that game, put a lot into it. They still have quarterback issues. Their quarterback Duggan was playing with like a hurt hand, and the other two guys behind him were out. So, don't know what would have happened if he got hurt. So I think they just were just completely spent after that game. This interestingly enough, the line opened Texas Tech minus 1, and now it's TCU minus 3. So I'm not sure what's going on here. I don't love the line movement, but I would certainly rather take Texas Tech plus 3 here. I think they're going to get the outright win. They've been playing pretty well. They just had a big win at West Virginia, and they're still playing for bowl eligibility. Their quarterback, Duffy, has been pretty good this year. So Tech is home dogs against a spent TCU team that kind of laid it all on the line last week. I'll take that all day. So give me Texas Tech plus 3 in addition to Navy plus 7, two dogs for this week in college football.
All right. Thank you, John. So now we will go to my picks. And I had a rare winning week, so I can go to these right away. Now, I just want to preface this with the following. I've had a rough week doing college games and finally getting some of them right. It feels good. It feels good. I swept my college picks last week, so I'm starting to feel it a little bit here with these scenarios. And maybe I can do this 2 weeks in a row. So let's go. All right, week number 12. We start with the moment we've all been waiting for. And I've been sitting on this point spread for the better part of a week. And it just happens to be the biggest mismatch of the entire season of any two teams in college football. And I think by now you know that I am referring to Ohio State giving 53 points at Rutgers. We are going to lay all the points in this game in Piscataway. I love Ohio State. I know that Chase Young is suspended. I know this. I know how they could be looking ahead, maybe to Penn State or somebody like that. I know this. I know that the largest victory that they've had in the last like 5 years was only 60 points. Well, I say only because this is a big point spread. It was only 60 points to Bowling Green. It was like 67 points, 77-10. And that was back in maybe 2015 or 2016. Despite all of this, the public loves this pick. There are 87% of all spread bets on Ohio State, despite giving at the minimum 52 points. So we're going to go Ohio State giving the 53 at Rutgers for game number one. Game number two, you've got Arizona getting 27 at Oregon. The series history with Arizona and Oregon is actually pretty good. For Arizona's side, they've had a couple of upsets of Oregon in recent years. Go back 5 years ago, where they completely took out Oregon in a very big upset. I think that was the week I went to Vegas and bet all the top four teams. They all lost, and that was one to remember. But we're gonna feed off of that history, and we're gonna take Arizona getting the points. So Arizona plus 27. Their defense isn't great, but the thing of it is, I think Oregon could be in a look ahead spot. That's a lot of points, even in Eugene. That is a lot of points. So we'll take Arizona for game number two, plus 27, to go with Ohio State minus 53, which I admit probably isn't going to cover. But I wanted to do it because I want to tell people generations from now that they laid 53 points on the game. Hopefully that they take care of it. So there you are for week number 12. All right, Andy, it's all yours for your picks.
Yeah, thanks. So I'm watching this Toledo game right now, and they just had the biggest Maction, like one classic Maction fumble. And the quarterback's wearing like one of those, like, it kind of looks like the swimsuit bathing cap. And I'm like, is it that? I didn't realize it's that cold in the Northeast right now. It's cold everywhere. So, yes, it's November 13th, and everyone's bundled up. Like, it's 24 degrees at this Toledo game. Wow. Whoops. Anyway, yeah, thanks. I'm going to take game number one. I was leaning Navy, but I will pivot because, you know, no need for checker on a checker here. But game number one, we are going to take Cincinnati. I think they're giving 14 to South Florida. I looked at this morning, so Dave, you might want to double check on that. We're going to take Cincinnati, giving 14 at South Florida. This is, again, just Operation Fade Charlie Strong. I took Cincinnati, I think, week one when they played UCLA, and they're just kind of quietly going along. You know, they might be one of the more quieter teams with one loss in the country. I think the only loss was against Ohio State, so no harm there. I mean, everyone loses to Ohio State so far. So, given 14 on the road, I'm guessing Charlie Strong is kind of just like finishing out the string here. So it's weird. Cincinnati, they got that Memphis game at the end of the year and Temple at the end of the year. You know, they're going to be right there at the end in that AAC conference. So, John probably knows a lot more about Cincinnati than I do, but they're just quietly going along, and I don't see why they can't beat South Florida by 14. So give me Cincinnati, game number one. And then game number two, we're going to take, as we alluded to earlier in the show, we're going to take Baylor getting 10, hosting Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's defense is not that good. You know, Baylor's had a knack for just hanging around these games, albeit this is the biggest test that they have. I mean, they haven't played anyone close to enough. Stupid late hit by number 56. Stupid Maction. This is what you get when you bet Maction, though, sometimes. But, I know Lincoln Riley, he's good, and Hurts is good, and that CD guy. I mean, they have all the weapons, Oklahoma. They got all the weapons, but that defense remains just kind of a dumpster fire sometimes. And getting 10, as we all know, that's a lot of points. You get that backdoor potential in the fourth quarter, and maybe the lack of respect by the committee is gonna maybe fuel this Baylor team a little more. So sign me up, Baylor getting 10, and then to match up with Cincinnati giving 14. Getting late in the year.
Yeah, I think these are like the last three games, and I will confirm it is 14 points for Cincinnati. So good stuff. And I like your Baylor.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, you got it, no problem. Very good. So let's go to Ron's picks, and here they come. Here we go. Ron's first pick, he's gonna go Alabama in an early game at 12 p.m. kickoff, minus 20.5 at Mississippi State. Game number two for Ron is going to be Hawaii giving 7 at UNLV. Feeding off the Rainbow Magic from last week, I suppose. So, again, for Ron, it's Alabama minus 20.5 and Hawaii minus 7. I don't have the picks from Dave and Queen, so I won't have that reported on the program, but you can find them at didcow.com once that's out. So let me just run down some of these upset potential alerts. Andy highlighted a good one with Baylor and Oklahoma. The other ones, Iowa, although they're giving three, but we can consider this kind of a sort of an upset alert because they're ranked lower than Minnesota. So Iowa hosting Minnesota. Then Utah plays UCLA at home. Georgia goes to Auburn and plays Auburn. You have, and then you have LSU going to Ole Miss. They're giving 21 against Ole Miss in a primetime game. I kind of wonder with LSU whether they're going to be they may have over celebrated their win. It really looked like they were going ham at the end of that game, which they should have. I mean, they beat their rival on their field. It's a big deal, but the letdown factor has got to be enormous. Wake Forest is plus 34.5 at Clemson. I don't know what to make of that one. But if they end up getting close, you'll see the little red upset alert in that one too. So those are some of the key games just from the standpoint of and Arizona and Oregon too is another one which I highlighted earlier. So that's what's on the table for the tops of college football this weekend. Let's get a little look at these games. And John, let's get your look ahead at this week's action as well.
Yeah, it's a couple marquee games that'll, you know, maybe shift the rankings for next week. The Ohio State Rutgers game not being one of them. I'm actually kind of surprised the over/under is 60. I mean, I guess they're thinking Rutgers is just not going to score, which is very possible. But like we saw last week, Ohio State can hit that over by themselves. So if I had to play that game, I would go over. I could see it being like 55-10 or something. But yeah. Anyway. Georgia Auburn, that should be a really fascinating game. Very low total here, 40 points, which you usually never see in an SEC game, and that's like reserved for, you know, Wisconsin, Iowa, a total of 40. So Georgia's offense has kind of been struggling this year, showed more signs of life against Florida, did just enough to kind of just, they shut out Missouri last week. They didn't need much offense. So their defense has been playing very well. Auburn has a very good defensive line too, so this should just be a really just a kind of a grinded out game. You know, possessions are going to be very important in this game, and it should be down to the wire. Auburn has a real big chance to play spoiler here in the month of November, hosting Georgia now, and then, as I mentioned earlier, hosting Alabama in a couple weeks. So if they were to win one of those two games, it would really kind of upset the apple cart, so to speak. I'm not going to predict this one. I think it's a complete toss-up. Gun to my head, I would say Georgia by three, but I'm not going to be putting any units on this one. I think it's a toss-up game, as the line would indicate. That Baylor-Oklahoma game. Yeah, Baylor, they just have a knack for kind of winning these games, and I think that just goes to coaching. Matt Rhule, I mean, I think the NFL should be calling him for some opportunities. I mean, this guy, like, everywhere he's gone, he's been winning, building programs up. I mean, Baylor was just a complete disaster when he got there. 1-11 his first year, just kind of had to reset the foundation for the entire program, got his guys in there, and is now, got them undefeated and playing in a game of this magnitude. Really haven't liked what I've seen that much from their offense, but some of these games, like the West Virginia game, for example, they could have won that game by three touchdowns. They were just turning the ball over. And when you go up against Oklahoma, if you have a good defense, that's going to be key because, the Oklahoma defense really is going to, even if you have a poor offense, you're still going to be able to make hay against Oklahoma. But if you have the defense that can kind of slow them down, I mean, that could really lend to itself to a competitive game. And with the whole primetime game day, 10-point dog scenario at home, I definitely would take, I agree with Andy's pick with Baylor with the points. Don't know if I would call for the outright upset in this one. You could kind of see Oklahoma just kind of scumming out like they did last week against Iowa State. But this should be a pretty competitive game. I would agree with that. Then the Minnesota-Iowa game we kind of discussed before. You know, the book says here you have to play Iowa -3. Don't know if I will. I mean, we've seen this, this kind of scenario lose before when it just, you play the lower-ranked team favored at home against a team coming off just a monumental win. Like I said, I don't really like rooting against Minnesota, especially against Iowa, who was, some other team maybe, but probably just going to stay away from this one and watch it and hope Minnesota wins, because after this game, they play Northwestern, which is going to be a win, and then they host Wisconsin, so they have the edge there in the rivalry game at home. So I believe they only need one more or two more wins to clinch the division title for the Big Ten. Wisconsin has two losses because they lost to Illinois and then Ohio State. So those are the kind of big games of the week. If you want some kind of under-the-radar games, let's see here. Friday night's a pretty good game for Conference USA. Louisiana Tech and Marshall, I'll be into that one. The two division leaders in Conference USA. It'll be a preview of the Conference USA title game, so definitely we'll be into that. Michigan, Michigan State, I mean, Michigan State is just completely falling apart. I mean, with D'Antonio, he could be on his way out. It's just gotten very stale there, and who knows. And Michigan, they will have their chance to have their moment in the sun against Ohio State in a couple of weeks, but they should win this game. I mean, Michigan State has just been so bad this year. And, you know, that game against Illinois really could derail their season even more than it has been so far. So, yeah, another AAC game that's pretty interesting, Tulane Temple, noon kickoff. I'll be into that one, too. Temple is a home dog at noon. It seems like it's always a winner. So if we go by that theory, I'd have to check the book. But it just feels like them catching points at noon is usually a pretty good play. And, you know, we'll see. They're getting 5 minutes to consider that one for an early kick. And then, of course, we have to mention UMass and Northwestern. Northwestern, a team that I didn't think they could even score 40 points. They're favored by 40.5 against UMass. You know what? If I had to play this game, I would probably lay the points with Northwestern. I mean, UMass is worse than UConn last year, which is saying something. Sorry, Andy. This is just a rough game. But yeah, it should be a good week. A couple of marquee games, and should be another fun Saturday of college football.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think the funny thing with Northwestern is that I think they scored around 70 points in their first 9 games, and they're about to score 70 in the next two because they scored a bunch of points against Purdue, and if that line holds, yeah, they're going to end up with like maybe 40 or 50. So that is wild. Okay, Andy, let's get to you and get your look ahead for the week in action.
Yeah, actually, I took Army against UMass on Saturday. I don't care if I went to that school. I was like, they stink. They stink. Oh, Toledo stinks too. Northern Illinois just scored. But yeah, UMass has arguably the worst defense in the country. And actually, it's not even an argument. And the quarterback looks like he's about 10 years old. So not a good combination. But yeah, I see eye to eye in a lot of those games John mentioned. I will be in to that Conference USA matchup on Friday night, Louisiana Tech and Marshall. I'll even be into Fresno State, San Diego State. San Diego State stubbed their toe bigly last week. Rocky love you long time, did not show up against, you know, they were ranked last week, and then they could not take care of business against they either played Nevada or Utah State. I get those teams confused because the uniforms are identical when they're wearing their ruined jerseys. So
I think it was Nevada, though.
I'm blank at this point. But yeah, I think it was. All the underdogs in the Mountain West, like, I think they all covered last Saturday. But yeah, bad job out of San Diego State. See if they can bounce back against Fresno, a team that also gagged it. Yeah, Fresno State lost to Utah State last week. Yeah. And yeah, Jeff Tefford was coaching like Cardwell last Saturday, but we'll be into that game. We'll not be into Florida, Missouri. John mentioned Michigan State, Michigan. I think Michigan has a chance to like completely bury Michigan State. That team just might be dead man walking, much like TCU. You know, same thing. You know, they played basically, you know, almost like a game and a half because of the overtime situation. So they might be a little deflated there. Navy Notre Dame could be sneaky good. I'd be wearing the black hat with relish and rooting for Navy there. Notre Dame can't lose enough in my world. Yeah, Wake Forest Clemson pass. The fact that Wake Forest has a chance to, you know, be on New Year's Day is a disgrace. Georgia-Auburn, I'll have to bet it just because of the juice and the national landscape implications. But yeah, I mean, I don't know who I'm going to take now. On paper, you know, historically, you'd lean Georgia because Fromm's a much better quarterback with the pedigree and the experience over, Bo Nix. But, you know, Bo Nix being a true freshman, he might be getting better as this year goes along. And even with his shortcomings and lack of experience, say what you want about Gus Malzahn, he does game plan very well. He does game plan very well. I think you have to give a big coaching advantage over between Malzahn and Kirby Smart. You got to give the advantage to Malzahn. Kirby Smart, you worry about him late in the game. He gets a little ooga booga bam bammy. Texas, Iowa State, one of those Iowa State unranked, giving 7 to the ranked team Texas. Iowa State, you know, they're better than that 5-4 record. We talked about it last week. Like every loss has been close with them. You know, that early game loss to Iowa last in September kind of really got them off the wrong foot. Despite their 5-4 record, that coach is still, you know, a big league commodity. You know, you hear his name getting tossed around in the rumor mill. So if we have to bet that game, we'll probably take Iowa State in a couple days. And then, yeah, Minnesota, Iowa. I can't watch that game. I can't watch Iowa at all. Like, I just can't. I just can't do it, Dave. And then, there's, you know, LSU might be on the lookout for an upset. I just don't think Ole Miss has the firepower to get the job done. Remember, they lost to Cal week 2 or week 3 this year, that controversial ending with the goal line situation, and they didn't review it. And, you know, once upon a time, Cal was 15th in the country, and then they've come crashing back to earth. You know, they did beat Washington State last week. But, yeah, we'll see what happens there. Arizona State, Oregon State, no thank you. Dave, your school's playing Cal.
Right.
That could be interesting. And, yeah, you're right. Arizona and Oregon, they do seem to play some weird games. I remember it was like a Thursday night game years ago at this point where I think Arizona upset Oregon outright. Was that is that how it all started? I'm not sure. But, yeah, that game, I don't know. This Arizona is very Jekyll and Hyde. Sumlin, I don't know what to think about Sumlin this year. They've lost 4 in a row as well. So, you know, Oregon has, like, they've got kind of like a second life right now after, you know, losing that first game against Auburn in the beginning of the year. And now between them and Utah, things could kind of work in their favor. You know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, you're right. You know, those Arizona-Oregon games, they can be interesting.
Yeah, and that's actually one I'm looking forward to. And, you know, I'll be out of town that when that game's going down, and I'll be on East Coast time. So I'm going to get the true effect of Pac-12 After Dark, and hopefully I can stay up for the whole thing.
Oh, I just Googled it. Holy crap, we're old. That Thursday night upset of Oregon, that was in 2007.
Wow!
That's, well, 12 years ago. That doesn't feel like 12 years ago.
Oh, my God. Wow. Dang. Woo. All right. Well,
Dennis Dixon. Remember Dennis Dixon?
I do remember Dennis Dixon. He ended up on the Steelers after a while, and he was a good back. He was a decent backup for like a week or two. So, yeah, he was a very very fast guy. Man, that was a long time ago. You're right. Wow. Good stuff. All right. So, let's do it. Time to go to the NFL. So much to recap, so let's not waste any time. Let's go to John in Connecticut and get your recap of the NFL action last week.
Yeah, this was one of the better witching hours of the year for the 1 o'clock window. I mean, the first game we have to... I mean, what a bizarre finish. So you have the Chiefs ahead, 32-27. They had just stopped the Titans in the Titans' own territory, but the Tennessee still had 3 timeouts. So the Chiefs run a couple plays, get the Titans to burn their timeouts. So they're at, like, the, 28, 29-yard line. Tennessee's out of timeouts. So they line up to kick a field goal to go up 8 points. And essentially, they're going to win the game at that point. I mean, they're up eight with probably, it would be a minute left, and Tennessee has no timeouts. So instead what happens, there's just a horrible snap. The holder has to throw the ball away. They call intentional grounding on the play. And so Tennessee gets the ball at like almost midfield, and they go down and score a touchdown and end up winning the game. That's just a, well, number one, if you had the Chiefs in Chiefs minus six, you were thinking you were sitting pretty at that point. It could be just the kicker makes the field goal. Any Chiefs bet in like a parlay or a teaser just completely went to shit. And just a huge loss for the Chiefs in terms of positioning in the AFC. Now they're, you know, two games behind Baltimore, three games behind New England. It's very likely that they're not going to get a bye this year. And the division title is now in flux because the Raiders are only one game behind. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the year? So that was just a crazy game. And, you know, it's kind of the same old story. We've come to expect the Chiefs lately. I mean, Mahomes just does unbelievable things, but their defense, especially their run defense, can't stop a nosebleed. And ultimately, that's what's going to come back to bite them. I mean, I've seen this so many years with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers where he's just Superman, but it doesn't matter if your defense is giving up 35 points. I mean, you could have the greatest quarterback in the NFL. Your defense has to do something. So, you know, tough loss for them, and we'll see where it goes from here. You had the Bucs-Cardinals game, which is pretty crazy. Tampa ends up winning by three. The Bills-Browns. The Browns really dominated that game, but ended up, you know, Freddie Kitchens needs to hire someone to call plays at the goal line. I think in the first half they had eight tries from the 1 yard line and they couldn't get in, and which was just embarrassing. But they figured it out in the second half. They Mayfield put together a nice drive and you know, they scored a late touchdown to win. When they had Kareem Hunt and Chubb in the game at the same time, that was really effective. So. Maybe they'll go back to that going forward. That really generated some offense for them. So we'll see how they do against the Steelers on Thursday night. Interesting game for Thursday night football. Let's see what else here. The Saints, ass clown, completely dominated by the Falcons. Who would have thought that? I mean, I know it's a divisional game, and those are always kind of tricky. But seriously, like they were just complete. They had their ass handed to them by the Falcons, getting sacks left and right. Honestly, like we kind of saw this with the Saints last year towards the end of the season. I mean, Breeze started off so hot last year and then just kind of wilted towards the end of the year. We're kind of seeing the same thing again. I know he just came back from an injury, but, I mean, he's 40 years old. I mean, is it crazy to say to put Teddy Bridgewater in, you know, for the rest of the year? I know they would never do it, but, I mean, Breeze, if he keeps going like this, I mean, the Saints, I'm a little worried about them. We'll see what happens from here, but I can kind of see it. Same kind of thing where their offense just went in the tank at the end of last season and it cost them eventually. So we'll see about that. Jets, Giants, shit show of a game. And if the Giants losing to the Jets, that's pretty embarrassing for them. The Dolphins get another upset win against the Colts. Once you knew Hoyer was starting, I mean, the spread was ridiculous for Hoyer starting 11 points. I mean, he stinks. And the Dolphins continue to play hard for their coach and probably are not going to get the number one pick this year. The Steelers beat the Rams. Rams are just a joke right now. I mean, they have no offensive line. Boss completely regressed. And we can take the genius card away from Sean McVay. Just a terrible job by him this year. And, you know, I don't think they're going to be going to the playoffs unless they change things around. They're just having a rough year. Vikings got a nice win on Sunday Night Football. Kirk Cousins shakes the primetime choker game for at least one game. He you know, he had a nice game, and the Vikings stay in the division race with Green Bay, who had a nice win, bounced back after that loss in L.A. Aaron Jones is the key to the offense. Get him involved, it opens everything up, and the defense had a nice goal line stand there against Carolina, so good to see that. And then, of course, the Monday night game. Yeah, what else can you say? That was pretty entertaining. You know, it was talked about afterwards that Shanahan, once Pete Carroll punted, it was like 4th-and-3 or whatever. Carroll really should have gone for that, number one. I mean, it didn't end up hurting him because they win, but he probably should have gone for that. And then Shanahan at that point, once they punt, they have no timeouts left. They almost could have, like, taken knees and played for a tie. because at that point they'd be still two and a half games ahead of the Seahawks, in the division. So I know you're not really thinking of that in the moment, but that might have been like a smart play. Instead, they throw three incomplete passes, and Wilson gets the ball back and does enough of some more magic, and they win the game. And it's crazy. The Seahawks are like 7-1 in one possession games or something ridiculous like that. It's just, I mean, the Seahawks going to have to change at some point, but give Wilson all the credit for performing in the clutch in these moments. And he does it every week. So it was a great week of football for the NFL, honestly. It was especially Sunday at 1 was a great witching hour. So, we'll let Andy give his thoughts on the week, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's give it to you now, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, the bookend between the Thursday night game with the Chargers and the Raiders and the Seahawks-Niners game and all the stuff in between. That Raider-Charger game was entertaining. Touchdown Northern. I mean, this 3-6 Northern Illinois team is now up 21 against Toledo. Toledo is looking. They don't even want to be on the field right now. This glass bowl is supposed to have a advantage. There's no one at the glass bowl. Oh, geez. Jeez. Oh well. Anyway, Matt Berry loved Phil Rivers. He loved him. He loved him. And Phil Rivers had three interceptions. Sometimes he looks like he's throwing frozen turkeys out there. He just got that weird form. And even though it wasn't his, he threw three interceptions, but the way the Chargers let the Raiders go down the field to take the lead, I mean, it was like they were too concerned with giving up the big play. Meanwhile, they're just giving up everything underneath. And if you give up everything underneath, well, you're going to give up a touchdown. And that's what happened. I underestimated the raw emotion out of the Raider Nation on that Thursday night. I mean, that place was loud. And that's going to be a not quite a tallest midget scenario in the AFC West, but, I mean, it's wide open right now. And as you guys mentioned, the Chiefs' liability, I mean, did anyone think they'd be 6-4 right now? I think the consensus in August was, you know, they were going to, you know, be a lock to, you know, be right up there late January in the hosting or being in the AFC championship game. And right now they're 6-4 and they need a defense. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, that Seahawks game was exciting. I would say I was watching from the couch tweeting, you know, box style, like, Why wouldn't Pete go for it on 4th-and-2? And he got away with it. The way I compare it to is if he's playing blackjack, he basically stayed on 15. He stayed on 15 when the dealer had a picture showing, and he got away with it. There's no other way to describe it. Like, he got away with it. He got away with it. And Wilson had a great game. That was a punch, counterpunch, punch type of game. You know, San Fran was up 10-0, and Seattle was up 21-10. There were like fumbles left and right. You know, San Francisco, you know, once Sanders went out, like, all the rest of the receivers were just like dropping passes left and right, and Seattle defense guys were dropping interceptions left and right. Clowney had the game of his season. You know, that, you know, it was weird because you guys all watched the game. Like, Seattle early on, like, their offensive line looked like absolute buffoons on third down. Surprisingly, they adjusted really well. Yeah, good win. They basically play with nine lives, and so we'll see what happens the rest of the year. I did miss a lot of the early action because, you know, we allude to this, you know, on paper, that 10 o'clock slate didn't really look all that enticing. Then next thing you know, what's going on with the Chiefs game? What's going on with the Browns game? What's going on with this Jets game? Oh, Green Bay's playing in the snow. Like, there's a lot of action. Oh, what's going on? The Colts are losing to the Dolphins. Yeah, I had a lot of some money line parlays go up in smoke with that Kansas City game. I mean, they're kicking a field goal to go up 6, potentially cover and win outright. I mean, they just, that was like a Charger type of game for them. Like, what the heck happened there? Well, oh, crazy. And Yeah, the poor Big Blue Giant fans, like, you let Sam Darnold have basically the game of his career against you. Lost on that game too. But yeah, Green Bay in the snow. Ho ho ho. I got to watch the end of that game. Dave, your Steelers played well. Just be careful again. Like, copycat league, Sean McVay. I heard a caller on Mad Dog's show this week, and he's like, this goes back to, like, last year's game against, like, after the game against the Chiefs. He's like, their offense just went to kaput. Like, do you guys remember the Sunday night game against the Bears last year? Like, they didn't look all that good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it feels like their offense has been kind of stagnant for a while now. They've just been able to kind of get away with it. But this year, I mean, how do you not have, like, Cooper Kupp get one? He didn't catch one pass. I mean, he didn't catch one pass against Pittsburgh on Sunday. Cooper Kupp, not one. He didn't catch one ball. I mean, that's kind of crazy. Like, so is that Goose? Is that Jared Goff's fault, or is that just like, is that a scheme thing? Like, he didn't get one pass. That's crazy. And that Sunday night game, that was also entertaining. Wrong end of the stick there. I thought, you know, we all thought the Cowboys were the right play. Some questionable play calling at the end of that game. Kind of force feeding Elliott when Prescott was having a great game, you know, throwing to Cooper and Gallup. Also, questionable start to that game. You're sending the Cowboy kicker to kick a 57-yard field goal. So basically Minnesota gets the ball at midfield. Next thing you know, it's 14-0. So, Eagles and the Cowboys are going to be battling for the rest of the year for that's definitely a tallest midget scenario. But a very, very entertaining NFL Sunday. Even that Cardinals Bucks game was pretty good. Yeah, and Ass Clown, I mean, that's why Sean Payton gets that Ass Clown label. That's why Drew Brees gets that Ass Clown label. Like, they might have messed up their karma. Remember last year when it was Sean Payton, like, he walked into the locker room with the wheelbarrow of money? And I was like, that's not good. That's bad karma. And then this year, you know, Bridgewater was doing a very good job. They were doing a very good job, and they rushed Breeze back. You know, maybe, you know, you mess up. You know, the karma gods don't like that type of stuff. So something to keep an eye on from here on out. Like, them losing and San Francisco losing, like, it's going to be wild for those first two seeds of the NFC, in my opinion.
Yeah. Who's it going to be? That's a great question. I don't know. That is a really good question, Andy. So with that all on the table, there's going to be some very interesting matchups this week. I'll just run out the matchups, and then we'll go to picks. So we already talked about a couple of them. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Houston, Baltimore is going to be great. That is going to be a good game. So top battle of two really exciting quarterbacks, you know. We'll get to that later. Let's go to the picks. So John, back to you, and we're ready for your picks when you are.
All right, Dave, we'll start off here. I know I said before the season I'd never bet Cliff Kingsbury, but I have to admit, their team is much more competitive than I would have thought. And I don't know if it's because of him, maybe it's because of Kyler Murray. I like to think it's more because of Kyler Murray. But the Cardinals have been basically in every game, and I will take them here, getting 10.5 against the Niners. How could you not fade the Niners after basically playing five quarters of football on Monday night? Kittle is probably not going to play again. Sanders is probably not going to play again. And you saw the rest of their receivers that they just can't catch. And Garoppolo, the moment kind of looked too big for him on numerous occasions. He could have had even more interceptions. Like, there was a lot of, you know, drop passes by the Seattle defenders. So I just think after that kind of emotional, even though they lost, it was just such an emotional, you know, they just put everything into that game. And this is just such a flat, sticky stop for them. And then looking ahead after this game, their schedule is at Baltimore. I'm sorry. They play Green Bay on a Sunday night game. That got flexed. So that's going to be interesting. So they play Green Bay, Baltimore, and then the Saints, back-to-back-to-back. So that's just a huge three-game stretch. And here they have the lowly Arizona Cardinals coming in. And these teams just played a couple weeks ago, and it was a three-point game in Arizona. So give me the 10.5 all day with Arizona here. So Cardinals plus 10.5 to keep it close for game one. Game two, let's see here. I'm going to take the Bears. I wish this was still 7. I would love it at 7, but I'll still take it at 6.5 in L.A. on Sunday night. This is just going to be an ugly, ugly game. I just don't see how either team really scores much here. I mean, we know the problems that the Rams have on offense. It's been well documented lately, and their offensive line is hideous. Expect a lot of pressure from Khalil Mack and those Bears linebackers getting after Goff. But at the same time, you know, Trubisky is terrible too, and the Rams defense should do whatever they want as well. So I can see this being like a 17-13 game. Just, I don't know, they should have flexed out this game for that Ravens-Texans game with Watson and Lamar Jackson. That's just going to be a great game, Dave, you're right. But we're stuck with this trash that is the Bears-Rams. But, you know, we have to make treasure out of this trash. So we'll take the dog, the Bears, plus 6.5 in the game between two teams that are struggling on offense. And this is just going to be really, really ugly. So Bears plus 6.5. Cardinals plus 10.5. Two road dogs for the NFL picks.
All right. Thank you, John, and good luck to the picks. Going back to college, good luck to those as well. Let's go to Andy. No, not yet. I got to do mine. Sorry. Okay, let's do my picks. We're going to go week 12. Here we go. We start with with a little bit of sunshine. We're going to go with the Tampa Bay Bucks getting 5.5 versus the Saints. You guys talked about it already. The Saints looked like garbage last week against Atlanta. And so I don't like the idea of them giving that many points on the road in a division game. And I know that Winston is prone to the turnover, but I also think they're prone to scoring points. So this is going to be a wild one. I think we'll take our chances with the home team. Bucks plus 5.5. Game number two, a game that was rescheduled in essence from last year when the Chiefs had a game against the Rams in Mexico City scheduled. But because the field conditions were so bad, they very quickly moved the game to the Coliseum in L.A., and that game featured well over 100 points. It was a great, great game, and one to remember. And interesting, Andy pointed this out, that's a turning point for the Rams. The Rams' offense hasn't been anywhere near that good since that game. That was like literally like a jump-the-shark moment for the Rams. But for Kansas City, they've still been pretty good offensively, and we will take them going back to Mexico City where that game was meant to be, rescheduled here for Monday Night Football this coming week in Week 12. So they're giving 3.5 at the Chargers. We'll lay the points with the favorite. So Chiefs minus 3.5 to go with Bucks plus 5.5 for week 12. All right. So now to Andy in Seattle, and I'm ready when you are.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I agree with John. That Houston-Baltimore game should have been flexed. But I'm guessing because of the TV markets of Chicago and Los Angeles, NBC's like, now we're good, even though it's on paper the product of Texans Ravens is definitely greater than the potential product of Rams Bears. But anyway, we're gonna start tomorrow. Dave, apologies in advance. We're gonna take the Steelers. We're taking the Steelers. I don't care if it's Mason Rudolph. I don't care if it's Tomlin. Go for two. This is just anti-Freddie Kitchens, anti-Browns. We're going to take the Steelers getting 3. It doesn't feel that long ago when the Steelers were 1-4, whatever they were, 1-4, 1-5, maybe just 1-4. But they're kind of hot right now. You know, that Ram game was good. They had they pulled the game against the Colts out of their fanny a couple weeks ago. That Monday night game against the Dolphins when they were down 14-0. And then, you know, I think it was – then they even beat Yahtzee's team on a Monday night. So they're on a roll. They got some mojo. Let's just see how far it can go. And, you know, Cleveland, they were a good win against Baltimore the other day to get some heat off Freddie Kitchens, but that doesn't last very long. Now you got to get ready for – a team that's better coached. And I know they don't really let Rudolph do much, but maybe they'll take the gloves off a little bit. You know, I think there'll be a lot of penalties in this game. There's usually a lot more penalties on Thursday nights to begin with. And as you know, Dave, like, Tomlin doesn't really... He's not the most disciplined guy, you know. The Browns are definitely not very disciplined either. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm definitely going to be in this game tomorrow. So, sign me up. Steelers getting 3. And I'm going to take the Patriots giving 3.5 at Philadelphia, coming off a bye. I know that they've actually lost the last 2 times they played the Eagles, obviously in the Super Bowl. And then they lost in 2015 in the regular season game as well. But, I just, you know, waving the pom-poms. I think the Eagles' secondary can be thrown to and exposed. So I would expect Brady to have a decent game, kind of spreading it around. And, yeah, it's the Nance and Romo game. You know, the Eagles just haven't really looked right all year. They've had some decent moments, but, you know, they've also... You know, they had a clunker Sunday night against the Falcons. It is a tough stretch of their schedule. They got Seattle next week. So, and yeah, like we mentioned earlier, it's them and Dallas kind of neck and neck in that NFC East. And I don't know what Bill was doing in practice with the Patriots, but I'm sure he was working them pretty hard. And they're going to want to kind of maybe take out some frustrations against the Eagles in a couple of days. So give me the Pats laying 3.5. Hopefully that half point doesn't come back to haunt them. And I'll take the Steelers getting 3 tomorrow night against the Browns.
All right. Thank you, Andy. And with respect to the Steelers, I have to agree. They've been playing pretty well, and I feel like the defense is the difference. Their defense has been pretty good. I mean, if you look at what these games have been, they've been pretty low scoring, a lot of them. And they've kept that team in every game.
Yeah, maybe, you know, it's funny. Like, everyone was killing them for the Minka Fitzpatrick move, just like everyone was killing the Raiders for trading Khalil Mack. And now look at where the Bears are compared to where the Raiders are, and look at what the Steelers have done with Fitzpatrick. So, you know, sometimes I guess you might just have to let these things play out and see how it all goes.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, it really is. It's really interesting to see. You know, things have certainly worked out for those teams. So let's continue. We're gonna go to Ron's picks, and here they come from Ron's texts. Let's go. All right. Week number 11 in the NFL. Ron will go checker on a checker with Andy, going Steelers +3 at the Browns. So he's buying into the Steelers as well in this situation. Game number 2. He's going to take the hot hand here with the Dolphins +6 at home against the Bills. So Dolphins +6 and Steelers +3 for Ron in New Jersey's week number 11 NFL picks. Quickly, before we get into this week's action, I do have to issue a correction regarding my pick last week. I said I was checker on a checker with John's pick of the Cowboys. That's not actually true. I was just used the wrong term. Like I picked the other team, but I should have said I was going head-to-head. And I did, and the Vikings didn't come out ahead in that one. And that was a little bit of a risky move, I have to admit, but it worked out. So that was looking at this week's action. We pretty much covered all the games. I think that there's really not much to add here. But I do agree with John's point that Houston-Baltimore needed to at least be flexed to 425. Like, I did not agree with that decision to go with the Patriots. I mean, I don't know, maybe Andy feels differently because it's the Patriots, but... They could have at least put it at 425 rather than a 1 o'clock game. It's too big a game to be a 1 o'clock game, in my opinion. So let's go to John. Any other thoughts you had about this week's action?
No, I didn't talk that much about that game in detail. If you remember the last time these two quarterbacks played, it was that epic game in 2016, Clemson and Louisville. It was like a 42-37 game down in Death Valley in Clemson between Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, and that was just an epic game. And if we can get anything like that on Sunday, it's going to be pretty entertaining. Texans coming off a bye, Ravens are just rolling at this point. So it should be. I would think it's going to be a pretty high scoring game. And hopefully both quarterbacks will put on a show. And I think it's the best game of the 1 p.m. window, so I think it is kind of going to get national treatment. So, you know, the Patriots-Eagles, that's fine for the 4:25 game. I just think this game should have been flexed to the 8 o'clock game, Sunday night game, because like I mentioned before, just this Bears-Rams game is just going to be ugly, I think. But anyway... yeah, the Monday night game will be very interesting, as I must be a couple plays behind you guys, because the Northern Illinois punter just fumbled it out of bounds.
I just saw this.
Toledo's taking over, so we have some faint hope here, and some about 20 people in the stands for this action. So we'll see if Toledo can come back here. But yeah, so Monday night in Mexico should be a crazy scene with Mahomes and the Raiders, and I'm sorry, Mahomes and the Chargers. Facing off, and you know, maybe we'll see Booger wearing a sombrero hat. That would just cap it all off for the night.
If he wore a sombrero hat, the social media got mad about that. Maybe that'd be good news for you, John, because that would finally get him off the air.
Oh my God, he makes literally no salient points the entire game. They got to get pressure on him on this third down. Like, no fucking shit. Of course, anyone can tell you that.
I think my other friends were texting about his broadcasting ability or lack thereof, and they're like just making jokes that, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo's got to step it up in order for them to win the game, and it's like, that's just exactly the kind of shit he says. It's so bad. And Andy, look at this. You got Toledo down to a touchdown to a touchdown deficit now. Look at that.
Yeah, everything we've touched today so far is I know, not to get political, everything Trump has touched lately go to poo, whether it's the Nationals game, whether it's going to the Alabama game. But everything we've touched today so far hasn't worked out. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, well, you got a little bit of a twist and turn action here. So, yeah, let's go Toledo. But, great time of year. Yeah, it's dark at 4:30, whatever, but you know, now we got matching on Tuesdays, matching on Wednesdays. I read somewhere that in the month of November, there's one day where there's no football. I'm guessing that's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. You know, potential funhouse alert, but I'm guessing that's the day where there's no football in the month of November between NCAA and NFL. So yeah, we are looking forward to all the action. I mean, we'll save it for next week's podcast too. But next week's NFL slate is bananas. Like, and then they announced like the week 16, the Saturday. I don't know what that is.
Oh yeah,
December 21st, I think. Like that's a great triple header. You know, just to get you ready for the ho-ho-ho holidays. And so, and that's the week before, because now we're really pushing the cart ahead of the horse, but that December 28th is going to feel weird because that's like the earliest, like the playoffs in college have ever been. But I mean, that's a great Saturday. Like it's 3 days after Christmas, you're going to be watching the Peach Bowl or whatever, the semis. So just sign me up. I love the holidays. I love the football. It's a good time of year.
Yeah, it is going to be really, really fun, and I think we might get to do. Let me think. When is so Thanksgiving's like 2 weeks from now? So I guess we're not going to see each other for a while.
Yeah, it's two weeks away from Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that Saturday too, the 21st, you have the three NFL games, and there's like seven bowl games on. They're the crappy ones to start off the season, but. I mean, that is just a great Saturday, just to sit on your couch and just make degenerate bets and watch football all day. That is just a fantastic day.
Yeah, you're right. That's going to be an awesome day. Good day to go to Vegas. Let me think about going to Vegas that day. That should be fun. No, I can't do that. You know what? I can't do that. There's a wedding on the 21st. Oh, shit. Look at that.
I guess that's the flip side of the coin, because I know we discussed it, but usually the college bowl games start like the middle of December when you have that Saturday that has like the Vegas Bowl and then the Gasper, you know, the bowl that's in New Orleans and, you know, there's five bowls or whatever. But for whatever reason, it's been a weird, you know, Thanksgiving late this year, the Army-Navy game is late this year. Everything, you know, the SEC championship game isn't until December 7th this year or whatever. So everything just gets pushed back. But holy smokes, something's going to have to give on December 21st.
That's true.
Something's going to have to give.
That's a lot of
games.
I'm
already ordering order pizza, not moving.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I mean, I guess I won't be in the mix, but I do can appreciate the schedule. That's going to be an awesome slate, so it's very good. Well, guys, I guess it's weird to say it now because it's so early, but happy Thanksgiving because we're not going to be on the air for a while because we're not on next week. I don't think we're going to be on before Thanksgiving, right? Because don't we usually travel on that Wednesday? So I think that's it. This is going to be it for till December, as far as I know.
We'll just have to post the picks. That's all. Focus on the contest.
That's right. Got to document it. Get them up there, Dave. We'll send them in.
Yeah, all right. All right. Sounds good. It's been a good contest, though. We're doing pretty well, I think. I was happy to see you get to 500, John, and Andy, you're starting to cut into that lead, too. So it's going to be a nice finish, I think, the rest of the way. Yeah, okay. So, all right, well, then let's just go really quickly for final thoughts. John, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, well, the playoff races are heating up in the NFL, and, you know, teams are positioning themselves for conference championships or, you know, to blaze some bowls. So it's going to be a fun few weeks, and, you know, going to be looking forward to another great weekend of football. And you know, thanks, Dave, as always, for letting us come on and ramble every week. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Pleasure's mine. I will double check the dates and everything and see if we don't have another show in the middle of that, but I don't think it's going to, be it for till December. So, Andy, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I guess a bizarro Heyman happy Thanksgiving to everybody. It sounds like a broken record, but we're season moves so fast. And it's winding down. It's winding down. These bowl games are going to be here before you know it. You know, this NFL season has flown by. Hope everyone does well with their wagers. And if you're involved in, like, fantasy pigskin leagues, set your lineups. The bye weeks are going to end soon. So good luck.
Very good, Andy. And I switch the same to you guys. Happy eventual Thanksgiving, everyone. That's the latest Thanksgiving I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen one that late. It's almost December already by that point. That is just going to be it might even be snowing where you are by the time that Thanksgiving rolls around. So that's just kind of weird. But thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, and good luck to the picks. We'll talk to you sometime soon. Thanks so much, guys.
Good luck, everyone.
All right, Dave. We'll see you.
All right, fellas. Good luck. Thank you so much. Yeah, then with that awkward goodbye, we say goodnight. And thank you. And again, no shows. I guess the next 2 weeks? No. I think we might do an NBA show in a couple weeks, but definitely no regular show next week. We'll do the special best top five episodes of 2017. And then we'll see what happens from there. Follow us at DipCow on Twitter for all the latest updates on the show. And at DipCow.com for our picks and everything else. So I'm Dave Medina. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.